K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi. This is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet, as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, my Father. What a mighty God you are, Lord. You're an awesome God, Father. And there's none like you in all the earth, Father. And we thank you for this precious opportunity that we can assemble ourselves together in this radio broadcast, my Father God, and just commune with you, fellowship with you, Father. So we open up our hearts and our minds and our souls, Father, that you might pour into it the word of life, my Father God, that will preserve us and keep us for all eternity. For heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of the Lord will abide forever, Father. So fill us up, Lord, with that preservative, your word, Father, that will keep us even until all eternity, my Father. And we have to be careful, as in always, to give you all of the credit, all of the praise, all of the glory, all the honor. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God, on this radio broadcast, hallelujah. It's an honor and a privilege, you know, to go with all of you all the way into the presence of our Father in heaven and just eat from the King's table. Glory to God. What you mean? You say that all the time, eat from the King's table. Let me tell you something. There's some servants. We all are sons and daughters of the Most High God that serve God, and we can eat from one another's table, and that's a good thing because the body edifies itself. But boy, there's a banquet, glory to God, that the Bible tells us that we've been invited to. And that's the banquet where our Father gave a great banquet for his Son, and he invited everybody to come in. Well, there, boy, I'm talking about, boy, to the Bible says the kingdom of God is like a father who gave a banquet for his Son and told everybody, like I told you, to come feast at the King's table, glory to God, because there's a banquet for his Son. We know that the King is our Father in heaven. We know that the Son is Jesus Christ. We know that the banquet is for his Son, to give him glory and honor and praise. And we know that the food that we're going to eat is from the King's table. What do you mean, boy? Hey, God, I want to talk to you himself. Thank God, well, man, you know, man, and God speaking to you through all of us, through the fivefold ministry and the ministers of the word of God. But, boy, that's a more sure word even than, man, what we say. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit say to you about what we say. That's more powerful. The Holy Spirit will give you a greater revelation of the word. What that is, man, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, that's eating from the King's table. Hallelujah. When you just hear what I say or what the apostle or what a pastor or the bishop or anybody say, that's the servant's table. And boy, when you can hear what the Holy Spirit say to you about what we say, That's the King's table. Hallelujah. That is, that's God want to talk to you himself, one-on-one. That's a personal relationship. That's a personal encounter. Let me tell you something about that. When you have that, can't nobody take that away from you. So you can hear what a man say, and then another man say something else, and then, man, you be debating. You be tossed about, say, to and fro by every wind of doctrine. But, boy, when you hear God speak to you himself through the power of the Holy Ghost, hey, baby, you will know that you 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 know, boy, hallelujah, that God's speaking to you, and can't nobody take that from you. That's why my greatest desire, man, you know, is for all of us to come boldly to the throne of God's grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help us every time we need it. What you saying, Arthur? That you can come boldly all the way to the throne of God's grace, not just collectively, but most importantly, individually. And you feast from the Lord's table, and you eat from the Lord's table, and you hear from the Lord, and you hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to the church in this hour. Boy, that's the King's table. Let me tell you something, boy, when you eat that food, hallelujah. Jesus said, that's the bread of life. Glory to God. Hey, well, boy, that's the bread of life. What's the bread of life, boy? That's what the King say. And let me tell you something, boy, when you get in on what the King say, thank God for what he said through the prophets. But boy, in his last days, he want to talk to you himself, his son. That's him. He want to talk to you himself. That's why the devil don't ever want you to hear, man, what Jesus said. You don't mind a church man knowing about all who he is and all that he did and everything else and how he died for our sins and all that. But he don't ever want you to, man, come to the revelation knowledge of what Jesus said. Because when you hear what Jesus said, boy, that's God talking. I ain't no prophet. The Bible says in Hebrew in time past, he spoke to us through the prophet. But in this day and time, he's speaking to us through his son. Who is that? That's Jesus. Who is Jesus? That boy, Jesus, say, you seen me, you seen the Father. He want to speak to you himself. Who, God? Want to do what? Want to speak to you. That's how important you are to God. He want to talk to you. He wants you to know that. And he wants you to know he want to talk to you without you having any sense of guilt or condemnation. That's why you know about who he is and what he did. Why? So that you can come boldly to the throne of God's grace yourself and obtain mercy and find grace to help you in your time of need. What's grace, man? Grace, man, is God's willingness, man, to act on your behalf. Even though, man, you done things, man, contrary, man, to his will. It don't mean that you have free access to do anything that you want to. That gives you the power, man, to get up, man, and keep on pressing on toward the prize of the high calling that's in Christ Jesus. Now, if you just, man, using God's grace as an occasion to sin, then, man, you didn't miss the whole point. That don't work for you. That don't work. Grace don't give us no license to sin, man. Grace give us, man, the ability to get up, man, and keep on keeping on, man. As long as you're pressing toward the prize of the high calling that's in Christ Jesus, then there's no condemnation. All right? Now, if you ain't pressing on toward the prize of the high calling, and you're using God's grace as to say, well, you know, God know my heart. No, man, no, no, no. You got to be pressing on toward the prize of the high calling that's in Christ Jesus. You got to do like what Paul was doing. I forget those things that's behind me, and I keep on pressing on, hallelujah. I keep on heading on. I keep on going forward. I keep on seeking, man, what God really is for my life. I keep on striving, man. I keep on going, man. I keep on trying to reach the pride of the high calling that's in Christ Jesus. What's the pride of the high calling that's in Christ Jesus? To be just like him. Glory to God. What? To be just like him. Man, all that religious stuff and everything else, man, I get kind of, you know, my righteous indignation try to always come out, man, when I think about religion. Because that's, man, the greatest enemy to what Jesus said. Say that again, Arthur. Listen, boy, Jesus, man, greatest opposition, man, was not the heathens, not the wine bibbers, not the dope dealers, not the prostitutes, not the sinners, man. His greatest opposition, man, was the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin Council and the religious order of that day. They the one who persecuted him. They the one who came against him. They the one who orchestrated, man, his death. They the one who was behind all that. Who wasn't the sinners? It wasn't the people out in the world. It was the church in that day. Why? Hey, boy, because, boy, his message was different from theirs. And they say, hey, man, it'd be better for one to die than for all our message and everything that we had done that molded toward us to be wiped away. So they orchestrated, man, who? Jesus did. Who? The religious people of this time. That's the greatest opposition of the gospel of the kingdom. What? Religion. It doesn't matter whether you receive that or not. It's still the truth. Let me tell you something. Well, I ain't gonna go there. I just leave it like this. The greatest opposition that you will face, man, when you come into the kingdom and start, man, proclaiming, man, what Jesus said, your greatest opposition gonna be, man, the church in our day and time. The religious church. Why? Because they already, man, you know, steeped in the gospel of Jesus. And they think that that's it. It's because of a lack of knowledge. Say, listen, let me tell you something. The gospel of Jesus is a needed message. It must be preached and everything else. But boy, there's a gospel that's greater than the gospel of Jesus. But what's the gospel of Jesus? The good news about Jesus. That's what gospel means. What it is, the gospel of Jesus, that's the good news about Jesus, who he is and what he did. What's the gospel, man, of the kingdom? That's the gospel that Jesus preached. That's why I say the devil don't mind you knowing who he is and what he did and how he opened blind eyes and unstopped deaf ears and cast out devils and healed the sick and died for our sins and rose and seated at the right hand of the Father. He just don't want you to know, boy, the power that's available to you because of that. He don't want you to know who you are. He don't mind you knowing who Jesus is and what he did. He don't want you to know who you really are and what you really can do and why you really here and the potential that you have and your destination. He don't want you to know, man, that you are son of the Most High God. He don't mind you, man, operating as a servant. He don't mind you operating as an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, a pastor, teacher, bishop, pope, choir member, church member. He don't mind you operating in all of that, man, as long as you don't know, boy, operating in your sonship. Hallelujah. In your kingship. He don't mind you operating as a servant. He don't mind you operating as a member of the church. He don't mind you operating as a good Christian. No one, you don't operate, boy, as the son of the Most High God. That's what them devils said about Jesus. Boy, he said, they say, you come to torment us before our time? We know who you are. You the son. He didn't say you apostle or prophet or evangelist or pastor or teacher. They say you the son of the Most High God. Hallelujah. What's a son? That's a boy, an offspring from God. That means, boy, he comes from God. Hallelujah. What's a son, boy? That's an heir of God. Hallelujah. That means he has an inheritance. Hallelujah. What's a son, boy? That means he has a position in the house. Glory to God. And he has honor and glory. Hallelujah. And he's seated at the right hand of the Most High God. That's a high place of position. Right under God. Right next to God. Hallelujah. But that's a son. He don't want you to know, boy, that who you are, who you are offspring from God. He don't want you to know where you come from. You come from God. Hallelujah. If you come from God, that means you're an offspring of God. You spring off from God. You're a masterpiece. Why? Because you're a piece of the master. And, man, if you don't know that, then you'll be operating, man, like a mere man, a mere woman, or a Christian, or a believer, and all that, and all those are good things. I told you the devil's most successful tactic against us is to preoccupy us with good things at the expense of forfeiting great things. When I say all those things, I don't mean that you ain't saved. Listen, saved ain't the goal. Saved is the means to the goal. You can't get to the goal unless you be saved. Hallelujah. What's the goal? All of the kingdom of heaven that will prepare for us. When? Before the foundation of the world. What's the goal, boy? To be just like your Father in heaven and to get your inheritance. What's your inheritance? What's being like the Father in heaven? That's having his character and his nature and functioning like him. What's your inheritance? All of the kingdom of heaven. When? When we die in the sweet by and by? No, in the right here and now. Jesus Christ's first message was, boy, repent. Why? Because, boy, the kingdom of heaven has arrived. What are you saying? I told you the devil don't want you to hear what Jesus said. Listen, well, you're here, boy. You go right on past it, man. And you'll understand, man, it'll be void of it. And you'll walk on in darkness when all the time you are little gods and mighty men and women of the Most High God. That's what it says in Psalms 82, that he stands in the congregation of the mighty. Who is that? That's you. And he judges amongst the gods. Who is that? That's you. For I said that you are gods and children of the Most High God. Who are you talking about? He's talking about you. But yet you're living and dying like mere men and mere women, when all the time we the sons and daughters of the Most High God. Let me tell you something. When you begin to operate as a son and a daughter, it's a good thing to operate as a servant. But boy, it's a greater thing to operate as a son and a daughter. Like I say, the servant don't have no inheritance. But the sons and the daughters, they got an inheritance. And their inheritance is, man, Jesus Christ. And they heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What's the inheritance? all of God, all of the character and nature of God, all of the lifestyle of God, all of the characteristic of God, all of the functioning ability of God, and all of the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. That will prepare for us, before the foundation of the world. And man, you don't know that, then you'd be waiting on like every day in the sweet by, trying to live the best you can and hope that, man, when you die, you go to heaven. No, I mean, let me tell you something. You don't go to heaven when you die already. Jesus Christ took care of that. You need to understand and know, boy, let me tell you something, boy, that the kingdom of heaven has come to you. Instead of you trying to go to heaven, boy, God loved you so much that he brought heaven back to you. That's why the devil don't want you to hear what Jesus said. You don't want the church to preach what Jesus said. The religious church don't preach what Jesus said. They preach, man, who Jesus is and what he did. I mean, I can say that's good things. But, boy, the devil don't ever want you to find out, boy, what Jesus said, hallelujah, because that's great things. It's a good thing that, boy, I'm talking about he's the Son of the Most High God. It's a good thing that he cast out devils and healed all manner of sickness and disease and raised people from the dead. All those are good things, boy, but a great thing, and you can open blind eyes, and we can unstop that ears, and we can cast out devils, hallelujah, and we can establish the kingdom of heaven on earth, and we can establish the governing system of heaven on earth. Instead of being preoccupied with the governing system of man on the earth and what the presidents are doing and what the senators are doing and what politicians are doing and everything else in the governing system of this world, well, you will find out that, boy, I'm talking about when Jesus Christ came, he had a government on his shoulder. That's what Isaiah said, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and a government shall be upon his shoulder. And of his government system and of his kingdom, there shall be no end. What Jesus Christ bought? He bought the governing system of heaven, not earth. There's a governing system on the earth that we call democracy. Boy, Jesus Christ comes to bring the governing system of heaven. What's that, boy? That's what the king say. Because in the kingdom, what the king say goes. And a democracy, what people say go. In the kingdom, what the king say, that's what go. That's law. Hallelujah. 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 What he bought? He bought the governing system of heaven to the earth. And then he taught, boy, how it functions. That's what all them parables for. He would say, it's given unto you to know the secrets, what, of the kingdom of heaven. What is given unto you? Men of old long to hear it, man. Their prophets and prophets and all the Old Testament characters, they didn't understand, man, this message, man, that Jesus Christ come preach, because they had never heard it. They longed for it. They longed to hear what you're hearing on this radio broadcast. And let me tell you something. I listen to the radio and Christian television and everything else. I don't hear too much, man, about what Jesus said. I don't hear the gospel of the kingdom. I hear all other good news. I hear all other gospels and all that good and everything else. It'll make you shout. It'll make you stir up your emotions. It'll get you excited, but it won't give you your inheritance. It'll get you saved, but it won't get you, man, what you saved to. What you saved to? All of the kingdom of heaven, man, and all of the lifestyle of God to grow up in that. How you grow up in that, man? You got to hear that and hear that and hear that and hear that. And the church been preoccupied, man, with what Jesus did, and boy, they don't know a lot about what he said. You ask most believers, what's the gospel? They say, boy, it's the gospel of Jesus. What you gonna preach? He said, I'm gonna preach the gospel of Jesus. I remember I told God that one time. He said, that's what's wrong with the church now. What? He said, boy, y'all preaching the gospel, they preaching the gospel of Jesus instead of the gospel that Jesus preached. Hey, listen, you can preach the gospel of Jesus and never preach what he preached. You can talk, man, they've been doing it for 1,800 years. The church don't know nothing about the kingdom of God. The church don't know the laws of the kingdom of God. Not the church, not the religious church in our day and order. You don't hear no, you do the math, man. How many times you go to church all the time, man? How many times you heard the gospel of the kingdom? I'm talking about every Sunday. That every message that proclaimed, man, is in light of the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God that's available to us right now. Now, boy, the religious church prepare you to go to heaven. Boy, Jesus Christ come with a message to prepare you, man, to colonize earth. Say that again, boy. Hey, the religious church, man, prepare you to go to heaven. Jesus Christ come, man, with a different message. He said, I come to bring heaven to you. That's a different twist. What do you say? I come to bring heaven to you. And say, in order for you to get to you, you got to change your whole way of thinking. Everything that you've been doing and everything else, that's been a good thing up until now. I come to bring you a greater thing. What? That all that you've been doing to try to get to a place, I come in to do all that for you, man, and bring the place, man, back to you. And then, boy, my death and burial and resurrection is so that, man, you can enter into that place. Hallelujah. Not just know about it and not just hear about it and even not just preach about it, but to enter into it. How? Unless a man be born again, he cannot see. What you mean? He cannot understand this message. And when you don't understand this message, boy, the devil coming immediately to steal the evidence. He don't leave that up to nobody else. He coming himself. Bible says when the seed falls by the wayside, the devil cometh immediately to steal that word out of your house, out of your heart. But he coming to get that word. Hallelujah. Because he know that, boy, once that word get out, boy, then his reign in the earth and his reign over the sons and daughters of the Most High God and mankind, he know that his reign or his rule over our life will be broken. How? It'll be broken. Why? All this power of our life, the power that sin and death hold over us, man, that'll be broken. And boy, we'll rise up and start operating and walking and talking in our authority, not only as a believer, but as a king. So you operate in your authority as a believer, then, man, you that's a good thing. But boy, when you operate in your authority as a king, as a ruler, because that's what you are. That's why the Bible says, Jesus said he's the king of kings. Who you talking about? Who the kings he's the king of? That's you. That's me. That's all us believers. But if you don't know that, man, you don't know you're a king. You just operate as a common citizen. But all the time, man, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a chosen one. This ain't got nothing to do with no color or no race or nothing else, man. It don't matter whether you're black, white, Indian, Hindu, Muslim, whatever, boy. All those who have come to the kingdom of God, boy, that's the chosen one. It don't matter whether you're black, white, and color ain't got nothing to do with it, boy. Hey, that's all those who will enter into the kingdom. What's see the kingdom? That's understanding. What's enter into the kingdom? That's enter into all the blessing, man, that it beholds for you, all the benefits that it has for you. What's those benefits? The Bible says in Psalm, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. What benefits? Who forgive all our iniquities, who heal all of our diseases, who redeems our life from destruction, who crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercy, so that our youth is renewed like these. I'm talking about day after day after day you renew. Instead of man dying and getting old, boy, you renew day after day after day after day. Why? Because you got everlasting life. You ain't never going to die. You might, that might be a transition. You might move. You might move out of these old bodies that we live in. That's cursed. It's going back to the ground. Why? Because it's cursed. God told Adam and Eve back in the beginning, cursed is the ground for your sake. What? Because, you know, I don't want you to live forever separated from me. So, hey, isn't that body going to go back to the dust of the ground where it comes from? But you, I can't curse you because, man, I blessed you already. You already blessed. But I'm going to curse the ground. And instead of it being on earth like it is in heaven, you're going to be on earth like it is here now. Instead of you living forever in that body that I formed from the earth, that body, the earth curse, so that body going back to the ground which you came from. But you, who you really are, a spirit being that's just like God, created in the image and likeness of God, you ain't never going to die, glory to God. You got everlasting life. And we just take God's word for granted. They go in one ear and come out the other. Because, man, I'm talking about we don't understand, man, what he's really doing and what he's really saying. In him was life. Who in the word? Who in the word? That's Jesus. In him was life, and it ain't no darkness at all. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't put it out. What you mean? I'm talking about all the darkness that's in this world, all the sin that's in this world, all the adversity that's in this world that come against death, it can't stop that. It can't put that out. There's going to come a time when all the kingdoms of the world are going to become one with the kingdom of our God. Why? Because his counsel is going to stand. His governing system is an everlasting governing system. Hallelujah. We change governing system, man, every 4 years, man. But, boy, in the kingdom of heaven, in that governing system, man, that's eternal. Lord. And everything that's coming up on the earth, the Bible says, when you see all these things coming up on the earth and all these problem in politics and in democracy and earthquakes and all these calamities that are coming up on the earth, pandemics and all of that. You say, listen, the end is not yet. All that do is set the stage for the gospel of the kingdom. Glory to God to be preached in the world. Because the Bible say in Matthew 24, when you see all these things coming up on the earth, the end is not yet. When we see that, we preach just the opposite. He coming soon, boy, because why? The earth is quaking. And man, it got all kind of problems in the Middle East and this and that and that and this and everything else. When Jesus said just the opposite. When you see all these things coming up on the earth, earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars and nation against nation, the end is not yet. You say, but this gospel of the kingdom. What gospel? I ain't talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I ain't talking about the gospel of war that most people preach. I ain't talking about the gospel of faith, the gospel of prosperity, the gospel of healing. I'm talking about the gospel boy of the kingdom. This is what the Bible says. When this gospel of the kingdom is preached in all the world as a testimony to every nation, then the end gonna come. What gospel? It's gospel of the kingdom. Listen, all my messages when I come up on here on this radio broadcast, if you want to know the subject matter of it and what the title of this program is, they're going to always be the same. What? The greatest story that has ever been told. Say that again, brother. Hey, the title to every broadcast that I come up on here with, you want to know what the title is? Hey, listen, boy, everybody say, well, you know, my text is this and the title is this and everything else. Listen, boy, my text is this. Matthew's man, 4:17, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has arrived. In Genesis chapter 1:26, and God said, I ain't talking about Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and all the other people. I'm talking about God said, let's make man in our image and in our likeness. And watch this, and let them, who? Mankind, have what? Have dominion. What's that? That power, control, and influence, authority over what? Over the fish of the sea, where that come from the earth, over the birds of the air, where that come from the earth, over everything that creeps on the earth, where that come from the earth, over the cattle or the field, that come from the earth, over all the creeps, that come from the earth, hallelujah, and over all the earth, what, let them, what, have kingship, what, over the territory that I gave them. For what purpose? So they can make it in their territory just like it is in the territory that they come from. But if you don't know about the territory that you come from and the governing system up there, then how you going to make it on earth like it is in heaven? That's impossible. That's why I say the devil don't ever want you to know, man, the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. Because the gospel that Jesus Christ preached will empower you, man, to, man, I'm talking about not establish black culture on the earth or American culture on the earth, but to establish the culture of heaven, to get back to that. I hear people all the time talking about different cultures. And I don't hear the world talking about, boy, the culture of heaven. And that's our original assignment, to establish, man, that culture on the earth. Not black culture, not black history, not American culture, not Chinese culture, not, man, Russian culture or different cultures from different nations and everything else. No, the culture of heaven. We preoccupied with all the other cultures, man, and ain't doing nothing to establish the culture of heaven. Or we're trying to prepare to go to heaven. When Jesus Christ said, come off that time, I ain't come to prepare you to go to heaven. I come to prepare you to impact and influence man the earth. What? With the culture of heaven. Glory to God. You're preoccupied with other things. They're good things. But you're forfeiting the great thing. Because right? You don't know nothing about it. That's what the Bible meant when you say, my people. Who? The church. Even the religious people, I ain't say they ain't the people of God. Because if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall not perish but have everlasting life. But, man, I'm talking about more. I'm talking about there's some benefits. And those benefits, man, is not in the sweet by and by. They're in the right here and now. That everlasting life don't start, man, when you die and go to heaven. That everlasting life starts, man, when you come to the knowledge, man, of your salvation and what Jesus did. And not only what he did, but why. That's the most important thing. Why he did it. The purpose for him coming. The purpose for him teaching. The purpose for him dying and being resurrected from the cross. The purpose for him being raised and seated at the right hand of the Most High God. That's what the Bible says. Thanks be unto God in Ephesians, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, where in heavenly places. And then it say this here. It say, and God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead and set him at his own right hand. far above all principalities, that demon and all the devil cohorts, all the devil and all the demon cohorts. Principalities, powers, rules of darkness, and wicked spirits in high places. That's all the host of the angels of the devil, the army of the devil. And then he go on to say this here. That's good news right there. But here's the great news. And you, who? And you. We know that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and went back up to heaven and seated that right next to the authority of God. He's excited about that, but boy, we don't know what he says. What he said, and you and me, who were dead in trespasses and sin, has he also raised up and made to sit together with Christ Jesus in heavenly places, far above all the demon cohort that come against us. He gave us power over all the powers of our enemies. Who is our enemy? The devil and all his demon cohorts. All them 1/3 of the angels, boy, that fell with him. But boy, it'd be more for us than be against us. The devil took 1/3 of the angels with him. Boy, that left 2/3. That means, boy, he got 1/3. We got 2/3 working on our behalf. It'd be more for us than be against us. You remember the story about Elijah and Elisha? Boy, Elijah was sitting at his house in a rocking chair, boy, and the army was coming against him, man, to destroy him and everything else. And old Elijah was sitting in his rocking chair, boy, just rocking, wouldn't worry about a thing. And his predecessor, Elisha, he come and told him, he say, hey, listen, boy, that's a great army that's surrounding us, man. You know, the enemy, they are surrounding us, man, and there ain't no way out for us, man. What are we going to do? And he was worried. And boy, he told him, go look again. And boy, when he looked, man, he said the same thing. And boy, Elijah prayed a prayer. He said, Lord, open up his eyes. Then when he went and looked again, he saw a great army that was surrounding the army that was the enemy that was against them. And boy, when Elijah saw that, Elijah pulled him up off a rocking chair and started taking it easy too. Why? Because he wasn't worried no more. Why? For, hey, man, great is he that's in us. It'd be more for us than be against us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? That wasn't just no scripture that they were quoting, but they were partaking of that divine promise of the Most High God. And they begin to put to apply it and operate in it, boy, with that divine promise of the Most High God. And as a result of it, hey, they both took seats in the rocking chair, man, and wouldn't worry about nothing. Why? Because, boy, in the kingdom of heaven, in that governing system, when you're in that kingdom, man, let me tell you something. Everything is all right. It don't matter what's going on around you or in you. When you're in the kingdom, everything is all right, baby. But you got to know that. You got to know about the kingdom, and you got to know what's in the kingdom, and you got to know the benefits of the kingdom. And that's why you say my people are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Why? Because, man, there ain't many churches preaching, man, the gospel of the kingdom. I don't mind saying it, and I ain't scared to say it. Ain't many churches out there, man, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Let me tell you something, I love all the churches out there. But I say it again, ain't many churches preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Why? Because they don't know. The pastors don't know about the gospel of the kingdom. They know about the gospel of Jesus. And that's a good thing, man. That'll get us saved. But boy, the devil has blinded our eyes and hardened our hearts to seeing we see not and hearing we hear not. So we walk on in darkness. Just like Psalm 82 say, we walk on in ignorance, what? Not knowing, man, that the power, the same power that was in Christ Jesus that ordained him and enabled him to do everything that he did up on this earth and to be everything that he would up on the earth and to have everything that he had up on the earth, even power over all the power of the enemy, that same spirit is on the inside of you and me. Here we just operate, man, like mere men and mere women, when all the time, as Jesus is, so are we. The work that he did, so shall we. And as the Father sent him, hey, the same way he's sending us. What the Father sent him to do? To destroy the works of the devil. The Bible say in 1 John, it say, for this reason was the Son of God manifested. For what? To destroy the works of the devil. What's the work of the devil? To separate you, man, from your souls. If you pull a plant up out the ground, what are you going to do? You're going to start withering away and die. Why? Because it's separated from the source. If you get separated from God, that's your source and your sustainer, and the will of God for your life, huh? And the purpose of God for your life, and the destiny of God for your life, and the Holy Spirit of God from your life, and the presence of God from your life. It separates you from that, man, then you don't know, man. You just operate. You just out here in the wilderness, just like the children of Israel. Even when they got saved, they just wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years, just like the church. Saved, for wandering around in the wilderness for the last 1,800 years, when all the time right across the Jordan River was the promised land. Just like the church been wandering around in the wilderness, when all the time, boy, right at your hand is the kingdom of heaven. Well, that's the promised land. What's the kingdom of heaven? Remember that life that Adam and Eve were living in the garden before they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? The dominion that they had, the power that they had, the authority that they had, man. Hey, before they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when they were walking and talking with God in the cool of the day, I'm talking about personal encounters, personal relationship, man, with God. Every day, unbroken fellowship, no sin, man. What they were doing, ruling and reigning in an environment, in an atmosphere, on a spot on the earth, hallelujah, with an open door into a delightful place. What's that? The presence of the Lord. What's Eden? Boy, that's in God's presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But that is, that's in God's presence. And boy, if the devil can separate us from all the dead men, then we just live out here in the wilderness and go round and around and around. The children of Israel, they were saved. They weren't in Egypt no more. The enemy was destroyed, boy. Pharaoh and his army, just like the devil working, all his demon cohorts been destroyed in our lives. But boy, we just wandering around in the wilderness, just like the church. But old Joshua and Caleb, they wandered around in the wilderness too, but they had a different mindset. They had a different mentality. All the other men, all they saw was the giants in the land. When men, old Joshua and Caleb say, hey, yeah, they got some giants in the land, but we'd be more than able to go in and possess our inheritance. Why, because great is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. The other people across the Jordan River were scared to death of them. They were scared of the giant that was in the land. What giant can be bigger than man, your God? What problem, man? What circumstance? What situation? What symptom, man, is in your life that comes to steal, kill, and destroy your joy, your peace, your happiness, your marriages, your homes, your relationship, man? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus Christ said, I come that you might have life and that more abundantly. What you going to operate on under? What the thief come to do or what Jesus Christ come to do? What the thief come to do? Steal your happiness, steal your joy, steal your health, steal your provisions, steal your relationship with God, steal your identity, steal your purpose, steal your potential. Steal your destination from you. What Jesus Christ come to do? See, I come that you might have life. What kind of life is that? That's abundant life. What kind of life is abundant life? That's kingdom life. And that more abundantly. Not just kingdom life, but a whole lot of it. What do you mean a whole lot of it? Everlasting kingdom life. Living in the kingdom of heaven on earth forever. You got to hear what I said. Living in the kingdom of heaven on earth forever. That's God's original intent and plan and purpose for your life. And that's what Jesus Christ come preaching. Not the permissive will of God, but the... Well, not the permissive will of God, but the perfect will of God. What's the perfect will of God? The original will of God for your life. That he spoke not just in the beginning, but from the beginning. First John said this... St. John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's in St. John chapter 1. In Genesis, he said, in the beginning, man, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was void and without shape, and darkness and the Spirit of the Lord. You know the scripture. But in 1 John, he said, that which was from the beginning. Genesis, he's talking about in the beginnings. John talking about in the beginning. There are a whole lot of beginnings. I'm talking about that which was from the beginning. Who at the beginning, man? Jesus Christ ain't the beginning. He started the beginning. Hallelujah. He established the beginning. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. Hallelujah. And his beginning is, boy, the heaven on earth. And the end is the same, heaven on earth. Why? Because that's the original intent and plan and purpose and destiny that God set for your life. I ain't talking about what the church set for your life and religion has set for your life. I'm talking about, boy, what God is doing. See, there are two terminology, there are two ways the kingdom is mentioned in the Bible. It's called the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. They synonymous, but they mean different things. The kingdom of heaven is a literal praise. That's God's territory. That's an invisible realm. That's the realm where God lives at, boy. That's his territory. That's the kingdom of heaven. And then that's the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is what God is doing. Not what the church is doing. Not what man is doing for God. Not what the church is doing for God. Not the program that we put on, man, for God and everything. Hey, the kingdom of God is what God is doing, man, for us. And what God has done for us. And what God will and intend and desire is for us. His original intent and desire. That's the kingdom of God. What God is doing. And his way of doing what he's doing. And his righteousness. Not your righteousness. But his way of putting us in right standing with him. Listen, you can't save yourself. Your righteousness, that's why I say your righteousness is like filthy rags. That's why I say if you seek first the kingdom of God, what God is doing, and his righteousness, his way of putting you in right standing with him, then all of the kingdom of heaven, that's the place, can begin to operate in our lives here on earth. What's that, boy? I'm talking about, boy, in the earth, in our hearts, in our minds. And boy, it will establish itself on the earth. But before it can establish itself on the earth, it got to first get in the earth. What do you mean? It got to first get in you, in me. The Bible says the kingdom of God is at your hand. But Jesus said, but when I finish doing what I'm doing, it's just not going to be among you. Right now, it's among everybody. It's within everybody's reach. Hallelujah. But Jesus said, when I finish what I'm doing and you accept, man, what I'm doing, then it's not going to only be among you. It's going to be in you. Glory to God. That's a different thing right there. To be one thing, to be among you, because it is. Well, I'm talking about salvation is for the whole human race. The kingdom of heaven, man, is everybody's inheritance. I don't care who you are, man. That's every man, every woman, every boy, every girl inheritance. I don't care, man, if you sin, you ain't never sinned. Ain't nobody never sinned. I don't care, man, if you try to live it right as you go to church every day. Okay, come on, my son. He said, boy, I'm talking about, boy, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Why? Because, boy, that, man, that's for everybody. Not just some. That's for whosoever will. Hallelujah. That whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. That's for everybody. Ain't for just some. That's for everybody. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. That's for everybody. Why? Because the love of God. And because of the love of God, then, boy, she come, my son, to the woman, my son. Then the Bible says, therefore now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. They ain't talking about everybody, but to those who are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. Why? Because the law of the spirit of life, that's in your Bible in Romans chapter 8, for the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. For what the Moses law could not do because of the weakness of man's flesh, a natural man, and he couldn't obey all them laws, man, let me tell you something. God sent forth his son, made in the likeness of man, yet without sin, and condemned sin. He didn't condemn us. He declared a sin in our life, not suitable for use against us. Why? So that we could walk out of darkness, out of unrighteousness, into the marvelous light, and into the righteousness of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, boy, you shall reign in life, man, what? As a result of the gift of righteousness. As you receive, as you grab a hold to it and seize it and place it in your possession, what? The righteousness of God that's in Christ Jesus, dear Lord. Then you shall reign in life. How you reign in life? By operating in your righteousness. What's your righteousness? Your righteousness, man, is the righteousness that, man, you have in Jesus. That's God's way of putting you in right standings with him. That's God putting you in a right alignment with him. That's God saving us, man. That's God fixing me and us, man. That's God molding and shaping us. That's God conforming us to his will and his tent and his life. That's God having his way in our life. Well, that's the kingdom of God. The governing influence of God in our lives here on the earth. God's design, God's intent, and God's purpose and destiny for our lives here on the earth. And not just us preaching about it and thinking about it and having church about it, but us men walking in the reality of it. You mean to tell me, Brother Arthur, that that's available to us, to every man, every woman, every boy and every girl, what? All of the kingdom of heaven, your inheritance that will prepare for you and for me and for all mankind. When? Before the foundation of the world, boy, that's the gift of God. That's what's been restored back to us. That's what Jesus dealt, his coming, his preaching, his teaching, his death, his burial, his resurrection. All that's the means to that one end, what? So that you could get back into the kingdom of God and get your inheritance, what? The kingdom of heaven. What you mean? You can get back into what God is doing. You can come to the knowledge of his way of doing what he's doing and his righteousness, man, and thereby begin to experience, boy, the kingdom of heaven in our lives here on earth. Line upon line, precept upon precept, little by little by little, growing up from little bitty babies, man, you know, desiring the sincere milk of the word, then the parable, then a little bit stronger food, then a little bit stronger food to where we can eat the meat of the word of God, instead of, man, being spoon-fed, man, by leading everything up, boy, you can begin to eat from the king table yourself. At first, you got to eat from the servant table. Why? Because that's what he gave the servant for, to build you up for your ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what it says in Ephesians. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for what? For the perfecting of the saints. What do you mean the perfecting of the saints? So to make you, man, come to the knowledge of who you are, to perfect you. That what? That as they are, that as Jesus is, so are all of we. Not just the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. That same standard of life that God provided, man, for the apostles and prophets, evangelists, teachers, and everything else. That's the same standard of life that he provided, man, for the church and the saints, too. Yes, they might have a high power, have a high judgment, man, for that. But, man, that ain't just for them. That's for everybody. You see, when you see a brother or a pastor, everything taken in the fall, we condemn them. When, man, let me tell you something, boy, we don't condemn, man, all the members out there that do the same thing. But we condemn, boy, the fivefold ministry. And, boy, they're just destroying the church. Instead of doing like Jesus did, well, he pick them up, man, and restore them. If you see one taken in the fall, then you who are strong out there, pick them up and restore them into the unity of the faith. Well, amen. We the sea straight away, we leave them out there and then condemn them. That's how it is in religion. But in the kingdom, we don't condemn man, one another, man. We restore one another. We build one another up, man. And if a brother is taken in the fall, man, we don't do like man when like they did that story in the Bible where man was sick and boy, I'm talking about the religious people started coming and they passed him by. The church started coming and they passed him by. But a Samaritan, man, he helped him up, took it to the end, man, saw that he was all right, then paid, man, for him to be taken care of. And say, hey, listen, if there's anything more than what I give you, then when I come back, I'll pay the rest. What they did, they picked him up and restored him. Who would that? It wasn't the church didn't do it in that day and time. It was a Samaritan. It was a person that wasn't, man, in the church. They did what, boy? They restored him. What are we supposed to do, man? We're supposed to do the same thing. We're supposed to be forgiving and forgetful of each other's faults and mistakes, edifying, man, one another. That's the purpose for the fivefold ministry, to edify the saints, for the work of the ministry. What's the work of the ministry, man? To bind us all together in love with cords that can never be broken. Boy, my son gave us, man, a great thing one day, boy. I'm talking about, my boy, he would write to us, man, you know, and at the end of his letter, boy, he would say, one love. Hallelujah. What that is, that's one love. Well, he established that on the inside of us. What's that one love? That's the love of God for everybody. He established that in our lives and our family. One love. And boy, I added the icing on the cake. What that? Unconditionally. But one love, unconditionally. I'm going to say that again. The love that God loved you with and loved me with and loved every man and every woman and every boy with, that caused him to do everything that he did, man, to redeem our life from the destruction that Adam sold us into, that's because of the love of God. And that love is unconditional. It don't matter what you've done. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Nothing. And, boy, he listen to what he say. Hey, in Ephesians chapter 1, thanks be unto God who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. What he did, who chose us before the foundation of the world. What he chose, that we should be holy. That's just like him. That's why the scripture says, be ye holy, for the Lord your God is holy. Ephesians say, God chose us before the foundation of the world that we would be that way, holy and without blame. And listen to what it say next. And covered in his love. Good God Almighty. I'm talking about covered in his love. Covered in his love. Can't nothing penetrate that. Can't nothing get through that. Can't nothing separate you, man, from the love of God. I don't care who you are, what you did, nothing, man. I'm talking about, boy, he loved you, man. I'm talking about unconditionally. Hallelujah. That's the love of God that's been shed abroad, man, in our heart, in my family heart. Even though we go through trials and tribulations, ups and downs, man, good and bad, happiness, unhappiness, all those things like that. But let me tell you something, boy. My wife and I have been together, man, since 1976, boy. And I'm talking about, boy, we didn't went through ups and downs. We didn't went through things that caused marriage to be divorced and everything. But because of that one love, because, man, we covered, man, with the love of God, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, then, man, can't nothing separate. Just like can't nothing separate us from the love of God, can't nothing separate us from one another. Baby, it's eternal. Hey, Lord. Hallelujah. Boy, my wife and I will be together forever. I don't care, man, why nothing about the faults and mistakes and the weakness and the inability in our life. Can't nothing separate us from, Lord, the love that's in our heart, man, for one another. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Not unhappiness, not more the devil, not all the things that he threw at us and everything else. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can cause, man, me to leave my wife or my wife to leave me. Or it might be things, man, that cause us to want to, but boy, the love of God is in our heart. Yeah, it overcomes everything. We covered in that love. Hallelujah. And because we covered in that love, one love, then, man, I don't care. Boy, why the devil attack us, man, especially me and my family. They attacked us, man. Why? Because of our assignment. Because of the revelation that we have, man, at the kingdom of God. You think the devil ain't after us? You think the devil don't come against us? You think the devil don't try to, man, you know, blaspheme us and come against our character and nature and our name and everything else? And when we fall, man, you know, and everything else, instead of restoring us, man, they kick off my son. They do this, they kick us to the curb. But the love of God, boy, that shed abroad in our hearts, man, that shed abroad in the hearts of others, hey, man, will cause, man, hey, listen, God to send people across our path that will, man, will restore us, man, that will speak a word of life into our life, into our circumstance, into our senses, till they get to the place where, boy, don't worry about what people say and what people think. Why? Because, boy, the only thing that matters is what God says, what God thinks about us. Let me tell you something about God after he's getting to close this broadcast. Boy, his greatest desire. I used to wonder why that was always something empty in my heart, man, for a moment, boy, until I came to the knowledge of what it is. What's that? I found the nature of God, man. I discovered that long time ago, man, 35 years ago, that the greatest thing that all God wants above everything, he just wants, boy, his family to love him. He just wants his family to appreciate him, and he just wants his family to think well of him. That's what God wants. That's the deepest desire that's in his heart. Right? He just wants to be loved. So he loved us first. He showed us his love for us, that even while he was yet in our sins, he hung, bled, and died for us. What he was doing, he's showing for all his love for us. The Bible says not that we love him, but that he first loved us. In other words, he said, this is how God's going to get you to love him the way he want to be loved. He's going to love you first, even while you yet in your sins. He's going to love you first. Why? So that you can grow, begin to grow in love with him. Glory to God. Glory to God. What he going to do? He's going to love you first. He's going to show you his love for you first, even while he yet in your sins. Glory to God. Oh, that's the goodness of God, man, for all of us. The devil don't ever want us to come to the knowledge of it and begin to walk in the reality of it. He don't want you to ever, man, love God, man, and grow to love God. I don't mind you serving God, but I'm talking about loving God. Because he say, if you love me, then you'll keep my word. You'll keep my command. You won't just preach it. You won't just sing about it. You won't just talk about it. You won't just witness it. But you will keep my command. What's your command? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and love one another, and love your neighbor as yourself. And if you do that, then you will fulfill all the other laws. If you love your neighbor, you ain't going to steal from him. You ain't going to kill him. You ain't going to hurt him. You ain't going to cover this possession. You ain't commit adultery against your wife. Not if you love them. Not if that love of God, that agape love, that one love, that unconditional love is in your heart, then, man, you love your brother. And when he take it in the fault, you don't kick him to the curb. You know, man, gossip about him and talk evil about him and say how unworthy they are. That's what the religious church do. But, boy, the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ was restoring them. Jesus Christ was preaching life to those dead circumstance situations and simple. What the other people were doing, they were speaking death to them. They were condemning them. They were kicking them to the curb. When they see them in a fault, they wouldn't even want to associate with them no more. They go on the other side to speak, man, and pass right on by and talk about them and gossip about them and everything else. But in the kingdom of God, man, we go pick them up. We go and restore them. So many great men of God, man, have been kicked to the side because of faults and mistakes in their lives. I mean, great ministers. Who won more souls, man, to the kingdom of God, man, than men like Jimmy Swagger? But because of the weakness in his life and the faults and mistakes, man, you know, man, the church, not only the world, but the church first, man, exposed and kicking to the curb. And as a result of that, there had been a great minister that was winning multitudes of souls to the kingdom of God, man, was shut down. Why? Because instead of the church, man, restoring him and picking him up, I don't care if you fell one time, two times, three times, a trillion times, man, I'm talking that love is unconditional and it's eternal. Boy, that's the love of God that is shed in our heart by the Holy Ghost. That's the love that God wants us to operate in and to walk in. That's the kingdom of heaven that's been made available to us. And that's what I pray and believe, man, for our life. That's what, boy, my desire is every time I come on this radio broadcast is to continue to share with you the greatest story that's ever been told. What's that? That's the love of God for mankind. That love that covers a multitude of sins. That love that's unconditional. That love that's that's one love. And not only that you might go take of that love, and that love might be shed abroad in your heart. How? By the Holy Spirit. That's why I say our greatest desire for us to come, man, not just to the radio broadcast. It's not an invitation to a radio broadcast. I send a lot of messages out and invite, man, all of my friends and Facebook friends and all my messages in my text message. I said, I'm out, what, not to invite you to listen to a radio broadcast, but to invite you to come into the literal presence of the Most High God and just allow God to speak to your heart through this radio broadcast that will enable you, that will build you up, that will give you your inheritance. Listen, I close with this. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I place you under the word of God's grace. Where does that say? Acts chapter 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, that's all of us, I place you under the word of God's grace, under the gospel of the kingdom, word, that's able to build you up, not hype you up, not stir up your emotion, build you up and give you your inheritance among those who are sanctified. That's my prayer for your life. That's my desire for your life, that you be built up and get your inheritance. What's that? All of the kingdom of heaven that will prepare for you before the foundation of the world. I speak God's blessing upon your life. I speak God's desire, God's intent, God's purpose, and God's provision, and God's deliverance upon all our lives. And as the words say we are, then so are we. Be it unto us, Father, according to your word. That is always, we're careful to give you, Father God, all of the credit, all of the glory, the honor, and the praise. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. In Jesus' precious name, amen, amen. And amen. Listen, my wife, Gail, and I, we love y'all. My family, we love y'all with the love of the Lord. And we pray and decree and declare God's best for your life. All of the kingdom of heaven, your inheritance, be it unto you according to that word. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, listen, we look forward to talking to you, boy, next week. God bless you. If we can be of any service to you, contact us, 713-870-3776. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur Levine. We at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry for allowing us the opportunity to serve you and your family. We trust that the message will be broadcast. has been a tremendous blessing to your life.
Hello.
We pray and speak the blessing of God upon your life. And if we can be of further service to you, please feel free to contact us at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry. Our phone number is 713-870-3776.
This is K.